The Catholics of Oz is brought to you by the StarQuest Production Network and is made possible by our many generous patrons. If you'd like to support the podcast, please visit sqpn.com/give.
You're listening to episode 32 of The Catholics of Oz. The Catholics of Oz is a show where we discuss faith, culture, and what's been happening from an Aussie perspective. Whether it's synods or science, apostolates and apps, providence or productivity, you can hear it right now on The Catholics of Oz. Hello and welcome to episode 32 of The Catholics of Oz. My name is Lindsay Sant, your host for this episode, and I'm very happy to be joined again by my older, smarter, probably more intelligent sister, Caroline Knight. Caroline, how are you going?
Yes to all of the above. Well, thanks. How are you going?
I'm going well. And Lino Sabol is with us again. Lino, how are you going?
I'm very good, Lindsay. How is everyone?
Yeah, I think we're all good. And we are joined today. I'm very, very happy. I think we've been planning and trying to get this going for a while. So we're very happy to have the CEO of the StarQuest Network, Dom Bettinelli, joining us for this episode. So Dom, how are you today?
I'm great, Lindsay, and it's great to be with you. I wish it could be in person, but virtually across the Pacific Ocean and most of the North American continent. It's nice to join you.
Yeah. So you're based in Boston, Massachusetts. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes. Just outside.
My American geography is not very good. So you can correct me on anything I try and guess.
I will let you know.
Yeah. So it's really good to have you with us. This episode is going to be a little bit different, everyone. It's not an episode where we'll talk about segments and go through topics today. This is kind of and Dom, this is where you're gonna have to help us out a bit. Mm-hmm. This is a State of the Union episode. So these would happen on Let's Talk in previous times. So we volunteered, put our hand up and said, yeah, we'd be happy to have a go at this and talk about the network. So Dom, first of all, just for any Australians who are listening, can you enlighten us on what a State of the Union is?
Sure. And again, thank you so much for stepping forward to do this, because I really do appreciate that. So it's essentially we love to take a moment every once in a while to let folks know, especially those who are longtime supporters and listeners and especially if you only listen to one or two of the shows, to tell you about all the other things that are going on the StarQuest Network, also called SQPN. That's the name we've been known by for so long, but that's a short for StarQuest Podcast Network. And so the State of the Union is just a way to let you know, this is all the great stuff we've got going on, the things that we hope that you might discover some new things that you want to do. And so that's basically what we're about.
Yeah, great. So we'll go through a couple of talk about some of the shows and some of the things that are coming up soon. Before we do that, we just wanted to remind everyone to like the Catholics of Oz when our episodes are posted on the SQPN Facebook page. Don't forget to retweet our episodes on Twitter. We love comments. We get a couple of those every now and then. It's great to know that people are connected and listening and telling us a few things about what we talk about. You can also subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Play and Stitcher, TuneIn, and your favorite podcast apps. SQPN posts all of its shows on YouTube as well, so you can go to its YouTube channel and just hit the bell to get notifications when new episodes come out. You can also leave us feedback on those podcast directories, because it helps people to notice us a little bit more and to grow our little community of listeners. And also, my favorite thing about this now, of course, is I discovered how to listen to podcasts on my Amazon Echo, and it's great. So just, hey lady, I want to hear the Catholics of Oz today or any of the other shows. So let's get started, Dom. So can we ask you, first of all, just to give us an update on the network? Tell us a couple of things about what's coming up, any plans for the future, mm-hmm. And what are some of the things that SQPN is doing at the moment?
So just as a reminder for folks who may not be aware, that SQPN, or StarQuest Production Network, we are a Catholic apostolate. That's our mission comes right out of our Catholic faith. And our mission is to discover, explore, to delve into the depths of the intersection of faith and pop culture. And that's why so many of our shows have to do with things like Star Wars and, you know, Doctor Who and things like that. We love to explore this place that so many of us live in today, and the realm of fun, interesting, informative, educational things. And so as a Catholic apostolate, we are entirely donor supported, which I am very grateful for. We have lots of very generous supporters, can always use more. And in fact, we are working toward reaching a break-even point where we are not spending more than we are taking in. We still haven't got there quite yet. And it is imperative that we reach that point relatively soon, and it because we can't do that indefinitely, of course. But we are donor supported. We don't have support from the church, the institutional church. We don't have advertisers. It is basically listeners who support us, and we are very grateful for that. So the network itself has been around for, I think we're close to 14 years, maybe. I think it's, I got to remember when Father Roderick and the Willitses got together and started it, but it was way back there. Today we have about a dozen shows. I lose track of the exact number, but I think it's about a dozen shows that we do on a variety of topics. And of course, Catholics of Oz is one of my favorites because, you know, it's just, I love to listen to you guys talk and, all the way from Australia. The great thing is I've always had, like a lot of Americans, we love Australia, and we love all of we also love New Zealand too, because, you know, especially if you're a Tolkien fan,
it's Middle Earth.
It's Middle Earth. I mean, it's one day I will go to Middle Earth. That's my bucket list. But I also love to listen to you guys, your perspective on the church, on the world. I love to hear that. And so it's great to have you guys on the network. I really do appreciate you guys being here. But we have some other great shows. If you want me to talk about some of them, like the probably our flagship show right now, the one that's the most popular, is Jimmy Akin's Mysterious World, I love doing that with Jimmy because I learn as much as anybody. Jimmy is, is a font of knowledge. I mean, if there's anybody who knows more than Jimmy about a subject, I'd like to meet them because he just seems to know something about everything. It's a great show, comes out weekly, and the premise is Jimmy Akin's Mysterious World. We explore the mysteries, both natural and supernatural mysteries, from the perspectives of faith and reason. Jimmy approaches things from a very methodical, philosophical, logical point of view, and he does his research. He's unbiased. A lot of shows like this one, they either approach it from a skeptical point of view or an entirely credulous point of view. And Jimmy walks the line in between. He's open to any thing, anywhere that the evidence leads, and yet he's also, not going to buy just anything that gets thrown down in front of him. Yes. So it's we've had such a variety of episodes, and coming up soon, we're going to have an episode on Our Lady of Akita in Japan.
Looking forward to that one. Yeah.
Then we have one on the mysteries of sleep. I think that's next week, which is like, you think, how could sleep, like talking about sleep for an hour, be interesting? And people often say that, it's got to put me to sleep. No, but people often say that after, you know, they see the topic list, you know, the topic of the episode, and they're like, I don't know if I'm going to be interested in that. And then they listen, they're like, wow, I'm so glad I listened to that. Because Jimmy has a way of making these things interesting. So, why do we sleep? That's a scientific question that's not been totally answered. Why do we need to sleep? And what makes good sleep, and how can we get better sleep? At which point I said to Jimmy, don't have kids is probably the number one way.
That's tip number one. Yeah.
I had to laugh. Yeah. He's like, you should have 8 hours of sleep a night. I'm laughing like, that's just that doesn't work for little kids.
Look, if that episode does us a favor and it's just an hour of white noise, I'm totally fine with
Well, Jimmy has this very pleasant speaking voice that it does calm you a lot, so that's good. Listen to it as you go to bed. We have so many good, and we're coming up on the 100th episode of Mysterious World, which we've already recorded, and we've got a lot of great feedback, including from you all here, Catholics of Oz. That's in there now too. And it's so much fun. We're updating a lot of the stories that we've talked about, a lot of the mysteries we talked about in the first 100 episodes. And it's so great. And we get so much great feedback from listeners. You're going to love it.
That's exciting. I was just thinking, there are quite a few stories that have changed over recent years as well, isn't there? Isn't it just recently that there was some UFO footage that was released by the Pentagon as well just this week. Or...
Right. Yes. In fact, that relates to a couple shows we did. We did a couple episodes on this secret government program that was called ATIP, A-A-T-I-P. Yes. And this footage from F-14 Tomcats or F-18s or something like that, U.S. Navy fighter planes, that was recorded in 2006, and then another one from the 2010s, and some, like 2013, something like that, had been released, and the New York Times had it several years ago and made a big splash. Well, these are the same videos. They're actually not new videos, but this time they're being officially released. So under an official government channel. So these are now officially blessed as declassified and available to be out there and viewed. And, you know, you watch these videos and you're saying, you know, these are professional fighter pilots. Their job is to look at things in the sky and evaluate them for what they are doing and what they're capable of. And these guys don't know what they're seeing. The things that they're seeing are doing things that they shouldn't ought to be able to do. By the laws of physics. So it's fascinating.
Oh, wow. They're just weather balloons. We know. Come on.
Very fast weather balloons.
Weather balloons have come a long way in the last 100 years.
Yes, since 1947.
It's great. Even Jared, we talk about Jimmy Akin's Mysterious Worlds. You know, we're not recording. We love it. We're enjoying it a lot. There are some... I love the episodes where... when you get to Jimmy's bottom line and he says, "I don't know." Those are my favorite. Yeah.
Yes.
Like he says, it was Skinwalker Ranch. That was it. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Skinwalker Ranch is the most popular episode we've ever done.
That's like awesome.
The most downloads, the most comments, and it's the creepiest thing you've ever heard.
That one disturbed me a little bit, I have to say.
Yes. It disturbed me recording it. I'm like, make sure all the lights are on and we're doing this during the day because it's really scary.
That had X-Files written all over it, didn't it?
It's a lot of fun,
Well, there's a History Channel program called Project Blue Book, which is based on the actual U.S. Air Force Investigation Blue Book, but has very little bearing on reality. They play very fast and loose with the actual history. But they had one of their episodes was on Skinwalker Ranch, and I watched it, and I'm like, this has nothing to do with what actually happened. No, I was disappointed. But,
totally made for TV,
Yes.
What a shame.
Yeah. Lino, just really quickly, because you're relatively new to listening to some of the podcasts on StarQuest. So, and I think Jimmy Akin's Mysterious World was the first one we said you should get into this. What episodes have you listened to recently, or what topics?
Yeah, so thanks, guys, for telling me about these the podcast with Jimmy Akin. The first one was about the Loch Ness Monster and the Annabelle Salt. And I love that about that, about myths and legends, Dom, and everything. And then the next one was about the, don't quote me, I was telling you, is it four boys or five boys who disappeared?
Yeah.
I can't remember the county or the place where it was.
In Oregon, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And that freaked me out. Like, the way you and Jimmy were just discussing and talking about all the evidence and the witnesses. I felt like I was there. Just you guys describing what happened to those boys, and oh my goodness, man, I'm working, right? I'm in the warehouse and trying to concentrate on things, and I'm going, I've booked this part wrong because I receive parts, and I'm like, oh, I've got to do it all over again. We're going to freak out by the last boy. And the great thing was about the boys had what do they call it? Disabilities?
Yeah.
Is that how you would call it?
Yes.
And each one of them had their unique way of doing it. I mean, having it. And just while you guys explaining, it was great, Dom. You two was like, I was so engrossed. And then before I know it, I had to leave. And I went, I'm going to replay this again. I'm going to have to listen all over again. That was so good, Dom. So good.
Yeah. Yeah, and Caroline. Oh, sorry, go, Tom. Yep.
I was just gonna say, Jimmy does handle those things very sensitively.
He has
a very nice way of talking about the very serious and sensitive subjects in a way that helps people and is never offensive or never sensational.
Yes,
exactly.
Yeah, very balanced. Yeah, Caroline, we got to join in with an episode doing some notes on the Summerton Man, and Tom, I can tell you, we must have spent a week. We talked about it a lot, and I think we still did. But how was that, Caroline? What did you think investigating the mystery of the Somerton Man murder?
Well, that was a lot of
fun. Or suicide, or whatever it was.
Yeah. I mean, I'd never heard of it, to be honest, before then, and so to learn about it and to investigate and then to try and come up with theories, I think that was the most difficult part. And I think our better theories came after we recorded the show because we had more time to think about it and like process all the information. And I still to this day think about it, and I was actually looking up to see if there was any progress on that, but I'm keeping an eye out, and if they manage to get some more information, I'm really interested in that one. So I thoroughly enjoyed doing that. That was so much fun. Yeah,
yeah. We're just waiting on if the body is going to be exhumed at some point.
Yeah, see if that I can't remember her name now, but that if that lady is actually related to him, and if her love of ballet is actually connected to him, or you know, so that would be really interesting. I mean, you kind of hope that there is an actual familial link there, but if there isn't, I think I'll be pretty disappointed. But if there isn't, you know, it's just another aspect to the case, and more investigation needs to be done. I just think I'm gonna keep an eye out on that one. I really am. Yeah,
there is an update in the 100th episode on Somerton Man.
Okay, I look forward to that one. Okay, great.
We'll be listening. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so we better move on, or this is going to become the Mysterious World After Show.
We'll be doing the 100th for you.
Dom, before we look at some other shows, did you want to talk about SQPN's spring giving campaign briefly?
Yes. So SQPN periodically does a giving campaign where we ask folks to step forward and support the network if they feel like it's providing a service to them or to the church, or they just want to support and help us keep these shows going. We cannot keep the shows going without financial support. It's just a fact. And it costs a certain amount of money that we have. I'm an employee of the network because to run a dozen shows and all of the work that it does, it's a full-time job. Plus, actually, and so it supports my family, but it also supports all of the various technical and costs that we have to do the shows. So if you want to support the network, you could go to sqpn.com/give, and there's two different ways to give. You can make a one-time gift through PayPal, or you can become a patron through patreon.com. So there's a link there that'll take you to our Patreon page. And with that, you're making a monthly pledge at different levels, and depending on how much you give, we have some nice gifts that we want to give to people for their donation. And so we have usually books. Most of them are books. We're looking at some other things like shirts and that sort of stuff. So I'm going to get a nice shirt with a picture of Jimmy Akin on it. That's in the future. But we have some books and things, and we ship. You know, we actually have patrons from Australia, and we've sent some books there, from the U.S. and it works out fine. So we love to get that support going from folks there too. So wherever you are, whatever you can do, but we do need to the need is becoming urgent for us to reach our break even point. To be quite honest, we are short by a couple $1,000 a month. We're telling people where we are. Because of the need is urgent, you know, we need to increase our income from donations by a couple $1,000 a month to break even. If we don't do that, our time is limited. We only have, if we didn't raise another dollar, which I'm sure that isn't going to happen, but if we didn't increase our donations any, we'd be done by the end of the year. That's just a fact. So hopefully we can. Through this giving campaign, folks will be able to help us continue to do what we do, which we've been doing for 15 years, and it would be a shame for that to go away. So I am fully confident that our listeners are going to say yes, and more. All that folks need to hear is that we're asking, and that they will say, oh, of course, I forgot to do that. And that, because that's usually what happens with me. Like, oh, I kept forgetting to do that. So this is your reminder. If you've been meaning to do it, go to sqpn.com/give. And become a supporter today.
Yeah, great. And we thank everyone who does support the network. It gives even us, the Catholics of Oz, a chance to be part of this you know, this wonderful network that Carolyn and I used to listen to before.
So it's a
great thing. So if anyone can support that this ministry, sqpn.com/give. So let's do a bit of a whip around on some of the other shows. We talked about the flagship show, but American Catholic History, that's been going really well. That's a short form, 10 minutes per episode per week show, and I've enjoyed that. Tell us a bit about what they're doing.
Yes. So it's about 10 to 15 minutes a week. So they keep it nice and short, to the point. And it's a weekly show that looks at some usually figure, but sometimes a place from American history that's related to Catholicism. Sometimes they're famous people. Like this last week, we had a famous actress from the 30s and 40s and 50s named Irene Dunne. And so sometimes it's famous person like that. Sometimes it's someone you've never heard of. I'm trying to think of, there was the, I should have looked up some of the episodes. There was the woman who was in the Old West, stagecoach driver. Stagecoach Mary was her name. And she was rough and tumble, and she didn't take nothing from nobody, and she beat up the bad guys who tried to rob the stagecoach, and yet she was fast friends with the Order of Dominican nuns that lived in the Wyoming territories out west somewhere, you know, in the middle of nowhere where Father Andrew Kinstetter lives now, actually, you know, out in the Wild West. I think he lives in the Wild West. And but it's these great stories, and they have such, and it's done by Tom and Noelle Crow. They're a married couple. And I've known Noelle for ages. We went to school together way back in the day. And I tell you just quickly how this got started. My family and I were traveling to the middle of the U.S. a couple years ago, for her family, had her family reunion, and so we decided to travel by our van just to drive it, and we did a 2-week tour basically of the Eastern United States, and stopping at different friends' places and putting ourselves in their houses to stay for some of them. So actually, graciously, we were invited to come stay with friends, and Tom and Noelle were invited us to stay with them. And while we were there, Tom had helped write the American Catholic Almanac, the book. And he said, I had so many great stories. I wanted to do more. And so that's where the idea for American Catholic History was born. And it's great. I love it. It's such, and they have such a great chemistry. Obviously, they're married, so you would think they'd have a great chemistry, but they have such a great chemistry, great voice as they record. And right now, Noelle tells me that she's preparing worksheets and guidebooks so that teachers and religious education catechists could use the podcast in their programs.
That's excellent.
So they would have additional materials they could use.
Yeah, that's great. There was one of their first episodes. I forgot there was another American woman. I forgot what her name was now, but she reminded me of Australia's Caroline Chisholm, who had a very similar story about helping people. You know, that's what she did. Caroline Chisholm actually helped women who came off ships when they came from England to Australia in the early days. I forgot her name. But anyway, there are similarities that I love hearing. I'm not very well versed in American Catholic history, and this has been a great podcast just learning about Catholicism from another country, but also picking up similarities and differences in, you know, from the early days and where we are both as societies now. It's great.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, 80% of these I've never heard of the people that they talk about. And it is great to hear these amazing stories of these amazing people. You might be thinking of Annie Moore, she was the first Catholic. She was the first immigrant to pass through the Ellis Island in New York, where the Statue of Liberty is there.
Yep.
That might have been, or there's a couple others like that. But these amazing stories.
Yeah. And what is it? Caroline and I, we did our last episode last year. Remember that Christmas episode we did? And we talked we got carried away talking about It's a Wonderful Life. Then a week later, American Catholic History had an episode on Frank Capra, which was great. So I loved that connection. I really enjoyed that episode a lot. So yeah, they're doing great work. Yeah. There's that little known Australian podcast called Catholics of Oz. I think we've said a few things about that, but yeah, I think
It's like I said, it's so great to have you all on the network to give a perspective that is refreshing. But also, apart from just the you know, the being Australian as opposed to, you know, being people from elsewhere, I just think the your approach is so refreshing. I enjoy hearing the science segments, and I hear the Catholic segments. I mean, it's such a nice collection of your personalities. And it's one of the things that makes podcasting so great is you hear all these voices that you don't otherwise hear. And I love the addition of Lino. Every time you've been on, I just laugh hysterically.
Dom.
It's so great to hear you laughing.
You're making me blush, Dom.
Yeah.
Thanks very much for including me in your family, Dom. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Bottom of my heart.
Yeah, Lino has the laugh for radio. I think he does it really well. So.
He does.
It's a bit too loud. I'm going to turn down the mic. It's too loud. You're hearing the playback. Oh my gosh, Lino's too loud.
Yeah. And Lino, Lino, Caroline, Jared and I, we've all been friends and siblings for a long time. Yeah. And some of us in-laws and everything else. But yeah, we've all got a good connection. So it was great to get Lino to jump on board and add his voice as well and his laugh and everything else. And then Lino went out and bought a better microphone than all of us too. For
podcasting. Oh,
your camera's
story.
Looking pretty good too, actually, Lino.
Oh, that's amazing. No, just that's the NBA door. That's well.
Internet's making you look good, yeah.
Yeah, it's the internet, not me, man.
Look, it's because of the real reason why I did this was because of the ISO, and you know, Lindsay and Caroline and Jared was always asking me, "Do you want to join the podcast? Do you want to go on a podcast?" You know, oh, I'll think about it. But because of this ISO, Dom, and you guys, I think I'll feel more connection in doing this. And of course, after this ISO and the coronavirus is, I wouldn't say finished, but I'll still keep on going. I think I've got my let's say kickback in and experiencing my expressing my faith through this, and also, and with you guys and with you, Dom, there. Yes, he's American. Yes, we have so much connection with Americans. Yeah, it's great. And you know, I was just telling Lindsay, just personally, like, this is probably the best purchase I've made. You know, even though I do spend a bit too much. Sorry, Dad.
She's listening.
She probably will. And we'll probably be listening while we're eating and go, she'll go, what?
Yeah. How much did you spend this
much? So, yeah, thank you very much, guys. Thank you very much.
Yeah, no worries. So let's move on to one that's close to your heart, Dom. And this is a show that I really enjoy as well, Raising the Bets. This is you and your wife, Melanie, telling us about your family and the adventures that you have. So tell us a bit more about this and what's coming up.
This is the show that I thought would never happen. I thought I would never get Melanie behind a microphone. And yet we've been doing this for almost a year now. Well, I mean, a few months. But yeah, Raising the Bets is a podcast I do with Melanie where we talk about the things that we do with the kids, although not as much of that as we used to do, but when we would have adventures going places, we would talk about that. Lately it's been a lot of going to parks and looking at birds. My oldest daughter is very much into birding now, which is a lot of fun.
Wow. Yeah.
She might like my chickens then.
Yes. And we talk about cooking is very big in my home. My wife and I both love to cook. And so we talk about recipes we've been making, and we talk about homeschooling, and there's usually a Catholic faith subject, and what books we're reading, what TV shows and movies we've seen, and that sort of thing. And it's just a way on one hand, it's a way for us to sit down and talk about what's going on in our family over the past week, but it's also a way to really to personalize what SQPN is. It's not just, you know, because when I do Secrets of Whatever, I'm talking about something else, but this is a way for people to get to know the people behind SQPN and the family, really, like my wife and I, who are sort of behind a lot of the background work. So it really personalizes it too. So I'm pleasantly surprised at how well it's been received. I've had a lot of nice things said about it.
Yeah, from the first episode, I think I made a comment about how relatable it was. If you're a different part of the world, a different time zone, but the you know, the the ups and downs of family life that you talk about. You know, it's like, oh my goodness, something like that happened to me recently, or you know, when something's broken in your house and you have to try and fix it, or it's like, oh my gosh, that just happened, or that's all the so it's very
there's an injury or there's something
Yeah. You talked about hospital runs with your kids, and I just had two of those with my 2 year old this year as well, and my goodness, so it's that relatable nature of it is really good. So I'm sure that you and Melanie talk about your family off air as well.
Of course.
But, do you find talking about it on air helps you to see a different perspective of your family, problem solve, work things out that you might not have been able to work out without a microphone in front of you?
Well, certainly having to talk about it while we're being recorded does help keep a conversation on target and civil, that's for sure.
That's a good tip.
We haven't yet had to go, okay, pause the recording. We need to that might happen, but it hasn't happened yet. But no, I think it does. I think having that opportunity to kind of, even to just like think about what are we going to talk about? What have we been doing? It gives you that moment to together step back and say, what's been going on? And especially nowadays where the days tend to blur into one from the next because you know you're stuck at home and it's the same thing one day after the other. It's a nice opportunity to reflect, and it gives us a very definite, okay, today we need to record, so what are we going to talk about? What have we been doing? And that gives us that opportunity to do so. So yeah, I certainly I think podcasting as a couple is frankly a great counseling therapy sort of session.
Yeah, and it's good therapy and counseling for those of us who listen to it as well. So
I hope so. Don't do what they did.
Now I'm going to put you under the spotlight for a second. All right, I have to. I want to just ask you a question. So, depends how seriously you want to take this. But when you crack a dad joke on the show, and I tend to hear silence as the response, is Melanie giving you a look of some kind, or
her eyes are rolling? Melanie, my sense of humor. It's so funny. You often hear like women marry their husbands for their sense of humor. I don't know why Melanie married me, frankly, because she doesn't find my humor funny. No, actually, she does find some of the things I say funny, but she does not find the very obvious jokes as funny. Although her family is very much into puns and wordplay. But she's a very stoic sort of person. So I think there's a little bit she's laughing on the inside. At least that's what I tell myself. She's laughing on the inside.
Well, Lino and I are sending you some manly solidarity for your jokes now because
thank you.
Yes, we
can laugh. Yeah. All right. So let's roll on. So I just wanted to briefly mention PlayStation Portable. This one's actually a really useful one. Can you tell us a bit about this?
This is the longest running podcast on SQPN. Jeff Vista has been producing this since 2006, like 14 years. Wow. This is one of the longest running podcasts, period. I think among probably in the top 20. And it's the Divine Office or Liturgy of the Hours every day. Multiple hours. You know, he does all the different hours: morning prayer, evening prayer, daytime prayer, office readings, night prayer. Every day, the different ones, as well. They include intentions that he adds in as well. So prayer intentions, and it's just prayer. And we have a huge following, and I think a lot of people who only know that particular podcast, which is kind of funny. We kind of hope to expose them to the rest of the network, but it has a big following of people who are very much interested in praying every day through this form. And it is great. And one of the things that Jeff is sure to do, because he does the whole thing himself, is he makes sure that he's got the day's prayers out in time for everyone, including those of you who get to tomorrow earliest, have it in time. That's one of the things he talks about.
Yeah,
that's a massive undertaking. So we're really grateful for him for doing that, because I dip in and out of it. It's great to have it there. As a So if I'm, it's like, oh, I need to pray. I need a prayer of some kind. Pray Station Portable. It's great. And yeah. by the way, I love the name too. Like, copyright that name. Yeah. No one can steal that. That's I reckon there are Catholics around the world going, oh, I wish I had that idea. It's such a great name.
Well, it tells you how old the podcast is because the PlayStation Portable was a thing when that started.
That's right. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Caroline, you were talking about our auntie before.
Yeah.
What were you saying about that again?
Yeah, so like I like the PlayStation Portable. Before I reread it and went, hang on, does that say PlayStation? No, it's PlayStation. But so our auntie is a religious sister and with the Franciscan Sisters of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And she's in Port Kembla and she comes to visit us once a year. And we have been to go visit her and stay with the sisters, you know, a couple of times before as well. And they do their prayers every, you know, section of the day as well. And that really reminded me of sitting down and praying with her. And when she used to come and stay with us when I was little, you know, I was younger, and she'd stay in my bedroom with me. And I used to do the prayers with her. And it's such, it actually just brings back some really nice memories for me,
nice.
Having that time with her. So, yeah, that's another aspect of that podcast, which is just really nice. So,
yeah.
I'd share that one. Yeah.
You know, a nice thing that we do is Melanie has always played the podcast as she's, you know, doing things around the house, like making dinner or getting breakfast ready, out loud over the speakers, lately over the Echo. And our kids have grown up hearing it. And so they know the Psalms, they know the prayers, even from a very young age. And so it's a nice way to kind of introduce prayer to your kids in a sort of low-key way without, you
know. What a great idea.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Any prayer format, anything that you can find that you just leave on in the background, because maybe you notice this too, but kids start to repeat things that they hear from them as well and participate. And I think that's beautiful. Mm-hmm.
We play the one of our bedtime routines is that my son Frankie, or all of us, will fall asleep to the radio, not the radio, the rosary on an app. So because we had to find a technique to help him fall asleep, you know, a few years ago, now it's just become our routine that we play the rosary out loud so we can pray to it as we fall asleep. Sometimes we make it to the end, sometimes we don't, but but at least by the end of it, my boys are asleep. So it's a really nice way. Instead of some wishy-washy meditation type thing, let's do something useful and meditative and prayerful. And, yeah, so I think, yeah, what you said, really resonates with me. I think that's such a great idea to have an out loud prayer for the kids. So I like that one, yeah.
Yep. There's our pro tip for all the parents out there
working
on evangelizing their kids.
Yeah.
I would have put the rosary on the way to go to sleep.
Well, you fall asleep to it.
Fall asleep to it. I mean, we're praying and then we're falling asleep.
Yeah, true.
To it.
Yeah.
But then, true. Like in the morning, I'll also, like, my routine is to put the Divine Mercy on in the morning. So they'll be awake for that one. but that's kind of shorter and they have more of an attention, you know, it's a. The attention is there, so they would have that going. But, you know, that's just something, you know, to help. Yeah.
So the Divine Mercy is like the coffee of your family then.
Totally. It is for me. I wake up with it every morning and I think it's a good way to get, you know, having these routine prayers is a good way to make sure that you are praying, because I think that you can easily just get distracted. And if you manage to fit in a routine, I mean, not routine that you just kind of forget about it, but you make sure that you engage in prayer at certain times of the day. So any of these techniques, I think, are really a good aids, you know. So
great. So let's move on to the Secrets Of series. We've got a few of these here. So let's start with the Secrets Of Doctor Who, Dom. So I dip in and out of this. I find it, so I'm definitely engaged when a new series of Doctor Who comes out. And this new series with the last two seasons have been really interesting. I think I found the second season probably more interesting than the first. And my barometer for this, the way I test it, is if I'm watching an episode of Doctor Who, new Doctor Who, if I fall asleep, it hasn't got me. but there are other episodes where I'm glued to the TV going, oh my gosh. And I think the second season with Jodie Whittaker has certainly had a lot more of those moments. So,
oh, yes.
What discussions have you guys been having about that season and what's coming up soon?
So, yeah, for the most recent season of Doctor Who, we agree that this was better than the first season with Jodie Whittaker. They had the highs were higher. There were a few lows. There were a few episodes that we just
yes.
If you've listened at all, you know how much we disliked a couple of those episodes.
Oh, yes.
but the rest were so much better, even than the first season. So there's improvement. It looks really good for the near future. So I'm hopeful. But what we do is we kind of go back and forth between. The revived show that started in 2005 and the original that started in the 1963, I think it was. And we go back and forth and we kind of, in the new one, we're going progressively through. We just finished the run for the David Tennant 10th Doctor. We'll be starting the 11th Doctor soon. And we alternate those with, we go through the first Doctor, William Hartnell, and the second Doctor, third Doctor, as we go back and forth. We're going to be introducing very soon, we're going to be talking about some of the Big Finish audio productions. So these are audio only, sort of audio plays that there's hundreds of them. Before I started this podcast, I had no idea that these existed. And you have the original cast members, the original Doctors, original actresses and actors who played the companions coming back. So fantastic. And we'll be doing a bunch of ones with the Eighth Doctor, who only in visual media had one mediocre TV movie on an American network, played by Paul McGann. But he has so many of these really great stories that are only in audio form. And so we'll be doing some of those in the future. But who knows when we're going to get new Doctor Who again? I mean, they've got a. Yes. I'm not even sure they filmed them yet. So who knows when that'll happen? So this is what we've got so far.
Yeah. Let's just do a really, really short whip around the panel.
Yes.
The Doctor I grew up with was the Tom Baker Doctor, but I'm pretty sure it was reruns on ABC after school. So we come home from primary school, it'd be on. I'd get my dose of half an hour, 45 minutes scared, and then, you know, and do my homework. He was mine. Caroline, who was your doctor? Were you the same as me, or did you have another doctor?
I'd have to agree
up?
With you. I mean, I'd have to agree with you because we grew up in the same household. So I remember watching it with you, to be honest. So, and I think, you know, together we've kind of watched all the Doctor Who's as we've, you know, as they've come out. So, and then kind of discussed it together. But he was the guy. He was the one I remember first. Yeah. So,
it's all
for
about
sure.
The scarf, isn't it? Yeah.
Scarf. I mean, the curly hair, you know, I mean, he had it all. It was a really, really good impression. Yeah. I mean, made an impression in my mind for sure.
Yeah. And Lino, would you be the same? Was Tom Baker your doctor growing up?
Yes, that's correct. My dad was a very big Doctor Who fan, Dom. And because he spent most of his time in England. So he was more saturated with British content. And he introduced me to Doctor Who. And I was telling Lindsay and Caroline and the other guys, about it and how our first time I listened to it, it scared the. Yeah.
I'm not going to say, Dom, so I'm
going to
last time I got bleeped in a second.
You only get one bleep, Lino. You only get one bleep. You've used it for this year.
like the other guys, I couldn't sleep a few times. And my favorite will probably be Tom Baker. And also, I loved all the other Doctors. I didn't see the other ones in the 70s and 80s. I mean, 70s and 60s before that. They didn't show much on ABC until later on. And I liked them all. David Tennant was great. He was a Doctor. Then I saw him in another TV series called Daredevil, and that just changed my mind like anything.
No, Jessica Jones. Jessica Jones.
Jessica Jones. My bad.
Yeah, and I just went, oh, no, really? Oh, that's just... Oh.
It must have taken me a year to get through that series because I watched the episode and go, whoa, I just saw that.
Really, David Tennant?
Doctor Who was great watching in our family, And I think it was more like, Dom, you will probably agree with this, it's just more the music at the start. That sort of start. And you listen to all the other sitcoms, all the TV shows, and you have that sort of iconic music.
Yeah.
Doctor Who is probably up there with the best of them.
Right.
You know, you got all Y5Os and all that stuff, and you know all the intros, but Doctor Who was there, and it grabbed you before it even started.
Right.
And I'm just quickly, probably I'm debating about this, which one is my best one. My best one, villains, between the Daleks and the Cybermen. Those are the two. I don't know who scared the thing out of me. But those two really, really, are probably the top villains I always say. And from some reason, they'll always come back in another season.
Yes. They find a way to bring them back,
Classics. And the classics and old school always seem to come back. You have a sort of rotation, like fashion, in a sense.
And Dom, who was your doctor?
Well, I have an admission to make, which is I didn't watch Doctor Who as a kid. It was on, but it was I was a Star Trek fan, so I watched. That's one thing I watched all the time. But I came to Doctor Who with the 2005 revival, and so I'm being introduced to a lot of this for the first time. So with Father Corey and Jimmy, we do this together. They're the experts, and I'm the new guy who's experiencing it for the first time, and it's so great to enjoy that. But for me, the scariest villains are the Weeping Angels. Those ones scare me.
Oh yes,
I do not like them.
It makes it worse when, of course, when you go to church and you see a statue of a cathedral and a church, you go,
yes,
I'm looking at you. You look at it, and all of a sudden, boom, you hit a pole.
Thankfully, no, you've ruined it for me now.
At angel statues or the Statue of Liberty, really? I can't look at it the same. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so how's Secrets of Star Trek? This is one I love listening to. And let me admit why. So I love when you talk about classic ones. So the one on The Voyage Home was awesome. I loved that episode. Balance of Terror before that, classic, original series episode. But one thing I love is when you talk about the bad ones, the stinkers. That's there's just so much, like, it just becomes such a funnier, lighthearted episode. You know, I know that you mentioned that there was that episode of Deep Space Nine, the Alan Moray Encounter 4. That's coming
up
soon.
It's coming.
I'm hanging out for that, yeah. But how's that going? Because I think the 100th episode is coming soon as well, isn't it?
Yes. In fact, as this releases, it will probably be Monday, actually.
Monday.
So this comes out on Saturday my time, Sunday your time, so 2 days later from when this comes out. And that's actually a fun one, because we're not talking about the TV show in that one or a movie. We're talking about a book. We'll be talking about the recent book based. It's a prequel book to the Star Trek Picard series that tells the story of how Picard ended up where he did. And that's one of the things with the show we've done, because they're now producing new Star Trek, which is awesome. We've been talking about Star Trek Discovery. We just finished the season of Star Trek Picard, that first epic first season, which was just
great.
Awesome.
So good. Yeah.
But I love
to Amazon now.
Yeah. I mean, Star Trek might be one of my favorites. It's something I watched with my father as a kid. He introduced me to it because Leonard Nimoy, little anecdote, grew up around the corner from my dad. In Boston.
How cool.
So we had so he knew him. He they weren't pals, but they knew each other. They were in the neighborhood, kissed together. So there was always that connection. So it was really I just love Star Trek. I love the original series, but I love them all, even the bad ones.
They're bad.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes, cuz when they're bad, they're, like the first season of Next Generation, is there's some real stinkers in there.
I agree.
We are keeping a running tally, and when we talk about Star Trek Voyager, of every time they say some kind of, some kind of alien, some kind of spatial distortion, and also the number of photon torpedoes they use, and the number of shuttles they destroy, because apparently they have an unlimited supply of both in the Delta Quadrant. So
I'd also want a tally of how many crew members they have left as well, because that ship hasn't got a big crew. But
there's like five. Yeah. There's five people left on the ship.
Yes. They're all on the bridge. That's it.
Yeah, it's just the bridge crew. It's all that matters. Yeah.
Yeah. But
that's
yeah,
great.
Even like you said, even when they're bad, they're good, and it is true if, across all the shows where we talk about other, you know, programs, Doctor Who, are the some of the most fun ones are when it's a real stinker and we can really unleash our ire on those episodes.
Well, I'll finish the Star Trek discussion by saying I'm looking forward to your review of A Night in Sick Bay. We'll just leave it at that for anyone who knows what I'm talking about.
Yes, that's coming too.
For anyone who knows what I'm talking about. All right. Secrets of Star Wars has had a lot to do recently. They had The Mandalorian, which was an awesome series. They're doing the final season of The Clone Wars, which has been amazing is the word I want to use, but I'm trying to think of a better word. It's such a great season that they're working on. And now, after when this episode comes out of this podcast, this event would have already happened, but I think you've got a live event happening with a special secret that you're probably not going to tell us about on this show.
Yes, I'm not going to tell you, even though this comes out afterward. You're going to have to go listen to it, because we'll release it as an audio podcast in the Secrets of Star Wars feed as well. But on May the 4th, that's a Star Wars holiday, Star Wars Day, May the 4th.
That's right.
Yeah. And we don't do the 4th of May. I don't know, because that doesn't work. But the way you do the date. So it's May the 4th. We're doing a special Facebook Live stream with the panel. And they're going to have a lot of fun interaction with the audience, quizzes, and, you know, what color would your lightsaber be? Sort of questions, that sort of things. But Father Andrew, who is the host of Secrets of Star Wars, or as we call him, Father Fett, he has connections or something.
Mm.
But let me just tell you, there's going to be some amazing surprises.
Mm. Oh, boy. Yes.
If you tune in, if you can, it'll be at 10 a.m., starting at 10 a.m. your time on Tuesday, May the 5th, for those of you who are on the panel with me right now. If you're listening to this as the podcast is downloaded, it's too late to go watch it live. So you can either watch it on our Facebook page, the recording of it, facebook.com/StarQuestMedia, or subscribe to the show Secrets of Star Wars, because this is not one to be missed.
Yeah. Look, my oldest son, Damien, and I, we actually slept on the lounge room floor and woke up at 3 a.m. once when they did the announcement of Rise of Skywalker, so the name and everything, and the first trailer. So, you know, we were freaking out in the lounge room while everyone's asleep. I think I will stay up at 11 p.m. for this one as well. I'm really excited about what's going to happen here. Yeah.
Excellent.
So, yeah, they're doing great work. I love their analysis. Let's move on. Secrets of movie and TV shows. So I think I haven't listened to it, but Ghostbusters was the last one that you did?
Yes.
How did that go?
Oh, that was so much fun. So it was Mike Denz and Mike Creevy. So the two Mikes, Mike and Mike, we talked about the original Ghostbusters, not the remake, but the original 1984 Ghostbusters with Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd.
The best one.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And it was so I hate to admit it. There isn't a whole lot of analysis of the faith content and we just laughed and quoted the great lines. And it was such a great opportunity to relive that really funny movie. One of the things we do is with that show is we try to look at movies and TV shows in the same way we look at Star Trek and Star Wars and that sort of thing. We've kind of revived it a bit. So we've been doing more and more. We're doing the Secrets of the Princess Bride coming up. And
awesome movie. Awesome.
And Secrets of Thin Red Line, which is the Terrence Malick movie.
Oh, yes.
I wasn't in the recording on that one, but Mike Creevy hosted that. So that should be good. We've been doing more of those lately, which is good. We were doing Coffee and Cinema, which was Father Chip Hines and I, who we live local to each other. We'd go to the theater, watch a new movie, and we'd come right out, go get a cup of coffee, and sit down and talk about it. First impressions. And we were doing that for a while, but obviously we can't do that right now. It's not allowed. Oh, yeah. But as soon as we can do that again, we're going to get back to that, because that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I look forward to the revival of that too. Yeah, that's been a great series of movie analysis to listen to. And another one, I suppose, that's really close to your heart is Secrets of Technology. So tell us about that. How's it going?
That's going great. And one of the things I like about that is it's become a show where we break down what's going on in technology news for regular folks who need to understand, or, you know, they're looking for help and understanding.
Me, yes.
I
love that show.
I've seen this news story. What does it mean for me? Do I need to worry about this? I mean, that's a lot of the time what it is. Yeah. But we have three different rotating panels. I'm the host, but we have different panels, including my mother-in-law, Pat Scott, Melanie's mom. And she is a computer expert. She has her own business called Mama Nerd. And
so cute.
She specializes in helping.
I love her advice, to be honest. Yeah, yeah, I love listening to her. Yeah, I really do. Yes. Yeah.
She specializes in helping older folks get by with their technology and use it better. And and she's really has a really great demeanor with folks, especially, you know, the older folks who, you know, the geek squad or the, you know, the guys at the local computer shop often aren't as patient as they need to be with the older folks. And she has a real nice way with it. So Pat is there. And then there's my, how do I put it? My very nerdy, very secretive, anti big government sort of panel of Thomas and Jack, who are always like, no, they're spying on you. Just, you know, don't use that kind of thing because they're spying on you.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of fun. So we have a very nice diversity on the panel of different perspectives and backgrounds and that sort of thing. So it's really great to have them all on.
Yeah. Caroline, did you pick up any tips from Sex and Technology that you use now?
Oh, there's been a few. I mean, like cloud storage and that kind of thing, because that's a big one for me. I still haven't updated my Apple Mac because I'm still not sure if all my programs are going to be rendered useless or not. So, there's those kind of tips that I really, really take on board because I use technology a lot, but I don't really know a lot about it. So any information I can get is really valuable. So I really do enjoy listening to your information there, and just you have so many useful tips for everyone, and like you said, it's in a way that, you know, the average person like me can understand and really access. So keep it up, really love it.
Awesome.
I downloaded Brave recently after having an argument about what my browser should be, and I've actually it's nice to feel like I'm being less spied on than I was before. So
exactly. That's how it is.
You are brave.
But there's some great tips, and I totally recommend that show for people who are trying to navigate technology. It's, you know, it's a show for the everyday us who are trying to work out what we should be using.
That's one of the things that I really intended with the show was we're not tech pundits. We're not tech journalists. We're not we're knowledgeable, but we're regular folk. We don't get review budgets of having big companies sending us their secret new iPhone. Although if Apple wanted to send me a secret new iPhone,
very welcome to. Yep.
But we're not those folks. We're just regular people using our stuff and trying to do our best with it.
Yeah, excellent. And tell us about Secrets of Disney. This is not a regular show, is it? This is kind of an every now and then show, or?
Well, we're trying to get it to be more regular. We're doing it. We're kind of getting it up to an every other week schedule is what we're going to do. In fact, in the weeks that the Catholics of Oz, you guys are on an every week schedule, so we're alternating back and forth. But it's Deborah Chabon and Lisa Hendy and David Handlos. And Deborah used to work for Disney. She worked in the parks, and now she works when you can do this, she takes people on trips to Disney and, you know, arranges. She's like more than a travel agent, but not like a tour guide. But she really helps people get the most out of their Disney vacations. This is a side business that she has. But they talk about all things Disney, mostly the parks, but also other aspects of Disney, and bring in a Catholic perspective whenever that applies. And that's one of the great things about it is they bring their faith to whatever you can bring your faith to anything that you enjoy in life without having to bash it over the head with it.
Yeah.
Understand what I'm saying? You know, and so it's just a part of who they are. And in the recent episodes, they've talked a lot about what is it going to be like when the parks reopen? What kind of changes are there going to be? And the source of, and most recently they had a discussion in the most recent episode of when you can travel again, where's the first place you want to go, which I thought was a little bit of a fun theoretical question.
Yeah. I think Disneylands all around the world are going to be very busy once people are allowed to come out of their homes. Yes. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So we might just take a short break here. So just wanted to thank a few patrons for supporting the network and supporting shows like Catholics of Oz and all of the shows we've just listed above as well. So today we'd like to thank Father Daryl, Matt M, AJ, Jenny N, and Matt and Jolanda C. Through their generous donations at sqpn.com/give, they make it possible for this show and all the other shows on SQPN to continue. So thank you for supporting StarQuest that way. And people who want to help out, you can join them by visiting sqpn.com/give. So we might round out the show by talking about a couple of short topics. So Dom, we're going to put you under the microscope now. You wrote a blog post recently and a very interesting food for thought blog post, because this is really about how are we going to get things going again, or what's it going to look like when we're told that we're allowed to start celebrating, you know, going back to our parishes and things? Because I think one of the things you were contemplating was we're not all going to be able to go at once. This is going to be a gradual thing. In Australia, I can tell you it's a similar thing. The Archbishop of Sydney, Anthony Fisher, he recently wrote to the New South Wales government asking for a soft opening of churches, he's calling it, which is similar to what you were saying, where it's smaller groups of people at limited sizes, things like that, not everyone at once. And this is because some states in Australia are slowly easing their restrictions because their numbers are starting to look good now. Not every state can say that, but we are going in the right direction, fortunately, here. So can you tell us a bit about the sort of like what you're putting out and what you're hoping the church might do when we hear that that things will start to get eased a little bit?
So what the question in my mind was, is given that it's not going to go back to February, we're not going to suddenly be, okay, we're back to where we were in February. This is a long-term change. And in fact, some things will never go back the way they were. And what I'm curious is, you know, what are we planning to do? So Mass is one thing. So what will it be like to go to Mass again? And one of the things I brought up was, when we have limitations on the number of people who can be in Mass, if we have to keep social distance, that there's only going to be 50 people allowed in person, or 100 or some, whatever this, depending on the size of the church. So how are we going to manage that? What is the policy? Are we going to have a ticket draws where a family is notified, you are now allowed to attend in person this Mass at this time on Saturday night or Sunday morning, or what, you know, or if someone just shows up at the door of the church, are they going to get turned away? I mean, it's likely that we're going to be wearing masks for a while. It's likely that there won't be singing, given the aerosolization of the disease in the air, the singing. You know, there'll be differences in how we receive communion, all that sort of thing. But even beyond the celebration of the Mass, there's other things that we have to think about in the life of the church, like the other sacraments. I have a 7-year-old. She's about ready to receive First Communion and make her first confession.
Yep.
It's like my Frankie. Yep.
How is that going to happen? What are we going to do? Some pastors are coming up with plans on their own, but, you know, really this has to come from bishops. They have to really at least provide some principles. So baptism in the time of Corona, you know, how do we baptize children? How do we marry couples? You know, there was the one bishop in Canada whose instruction said, well, there were very strict limits of 10 total people in the church at a time. So that has to be everybody, you know, no more than 10. And everyone has to maintain social distancing, even the bride and groom. And it made me think, I'm not sure that's really all that necessary. Because
you may blow a kiss to the bride. Is that the thing?
Well, you know, they're presumably going home.
Throw the ring over.
Yeah. Take this ring when I throw it to you. Catch.
And presumably they're going to go home and have a home together afterward. I mean, that's so why do they need to be socially distant at the ceremony? It's just the sort of thing, like, we have to stop and think about what is, and even the life of the church beyond the sacraments, because being a Christian, being Catholic, includes things like the social aspect, the social part of the parish. How do we maintain those bonds with one another you know, it's really hard to do when we're live streaming mass at home every week. These are questions we really need to address. And some of them have started to be addressed by some places. The Archdiocese of Denver has released an official, you know, its future policies. I was really pleased to see the Thomistic Institute Washington, D.C. They've released a set of guidelines based on good theology and good canon law. And as well as the epidemiologist recommendations of what things like confession and mass and what was it, baptism? I think I forget what the third one was.
What those can look like. Last rites was the other one as well.
Which is extremely important at this time. So that's what I was writing about and trying to get a conversation going and see what people had heard and maybe could put a bug in the ear of some diocesan officials and bishops that the lay people would like to know what life is going to be like.
A question that probably you, me, and Caroline have is training our kids for sacraments. So Damien was meant to be doing his confirmation. So that's not going to happen now.
That's true.
But the thing is, there's no going to church to meet the catechist and do training or anything like that. It sounds like parents might be asking, depending on their level of experience, how am I going to prepare my kid for a particular sacrament as well?
Mm-hmm.
Caroline, are you thinking about that? Has that been on your mind? You've got Harry coming up, don't you? And Frankie especially?
Frankie, well, he's 8. And I mean, in a little way, I've been kind of preparing him, like been doing the spiritual communion at home, you know, with the live streaming of Mass. And I thought, well, maybe that's just one way I can get him thinking about communion and what it means and, you know, without actually physically taking it. But, you know, he's made his spiritual communion. So for me, I mean, and he was very happy the first time he did that, you know. So now he loves to do it. And we do that, every Sunday. So, I guess, you know, you kind of have to work around it and do the best you can in this kind of situation and, you know, help prepare in whatever way you can. So it's not like you can do nothing, but I mean, maybe as parents, we just have to think of other ways, you know, if they can't do formal education, you know, just, doing other little things to help them along the way.
Yeah. I think we'll be looking to our diocese to produce something, maybe a resource.
Yeah, you'd hope so. Like the schools are helping to do remote learning.
It's hard because so much of what kids learn about receiving this, especially the sacrament of the communion, of Eucharist, they learn from watching us do it. Us being at Mass and receiving communion. And since they're not seeing us at Mass, that's lacking a little bit. So for my family, we watch the live stream Sunday Mass together every Sunday. We don't necessarily get all dressed up. I'm usually barefoot, but no pajamas.
Tracksuit pant messes, don't worry.
we all gather, we sit, stand, kneel, pay attention, we sing if they sing, to kind of keep as much of that norm as possible.
Yeah, we're the same as well. I've got to say, so my 11-year-old Damien, he's, you know, clearly experienced Mass, as you said. He's okay. My 2-year-old Alexander, so he's been to Mass, but he generally makes a lot of noise and eats food and throws things around at Mass. At home, we've actually, when we're about to have Mass streams, we pull out our dining room chairs and line them up. And last Sunday, I thought, I'm pretty wiped out. Well, let's just sit on the couch and watch it. But no, Alexander went and got all the chairs. And he's going, Father Michael. He pulled all the chairs and lined them up for us. Like, okay, let's go. He's noticing as a 2-year-old. So it's,
these
things are important.
Certainly.
Yeah.
That's true.
There's a great meme that I'm going to paraphrase that's been going around on the internet where Jesus and the devil are having like a face-off. And the devil says, look, I've shut down all the masses. Ha, ha, ha. Look how great I am. And Jesus says, I've brought Mass to millions of homes. Look at that. So, So maybe there's a positive for us to look there.
Yeah.
I'm conscious of time. So let's briefly go through this very last one because we have to talk. This is a Catholics of Oz topic. We have to talk about this.
Oh,
yes.
Here we go.
So Lino and I use the Steam platform a lot. Dom, do you get games on Steam at all? Are you also part of it?
I have pretty much one game on Steam that I play all the time, Civilization. That's my favorite.
Me too, Dom. I've been playing it right now. It's my favorite game ever.
Yeah. 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 So I go all the way back to game 2.
Yeah. Oh, nice. So good. Oh, great. Yeah, so there was an ad that, now the reason why we're talking about this is because Rome Reports, which is one of the Vatican news, you know, bureaus, talked about this. There's a new game coming out called Pope Simulator. Now, I've seen lots of simulators. I've seen Truck Simulator, Farming Simulator, the good old Goat Simulator, goat where you're simulator. A goat and you run around destroying things. Yeah. You know, that's the whole point of the game, is just to be destructive. Yes, this one, I'm assuming it's got a Catholic basis in mind, where you actually get to live out the daily life of the Pope. So you get to, you know, it starts from when you are, you know, when you become the Pope. So you go out on the balcony and greet the people. You have to do diplomacy. You've got choices. You bless people in you know, in the crowds in St. Peter's Square. And you can choose to bless or not to bless people, which is...
Yes, you can, yeah, you can ignore, apparently.
Yeah, and travel around. You know, like, Dom, you're the CEO of a network, so you're probably higher than us. You're closer to being Pope than we possibly would be. But,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I know, it's a terrible connection, but have you ever thought of playing a game where you get to be Pope for a day?
I tell you, this is funny. I'm not sure how much fun it would be, but it would certainly be worthwhile at least trying it out. I'm not sure how good the gameplay is, but I'm thinking, you know, being Pope for the day would be like, so you have a bunch of people who yell at you because, you know, one side, no matter what you do, somebody's unhappy. You know, you have to navigate in between all of these different factions while you're just trying to pray and lead the flock. It was kind of interesting, because it did look like you had choices. Like, you can go on a papal trip to, you know, this place under plague or something, pandemic, which I thought was kind of funny, or hold a mass in St. Peter's, or do, like, you have these choices that are put on you. So I thought it was a very interesting thing, and I'd be curious to see what exactly it constitutes, like, you know, what gives the Pope character energy. You know, does it if he pray at night, does he get more energy for the next day? You know, and what's the who's the big boss, the enemy that you gotta fight? You know, is it the devil?
Probably
out
everybody
there?
Else. I don't know.
So very interesting.
Lino, what would Bernadette say if you told her you were going to be Pope for a day?
She'll laugh at me. She'll go, why? Why are you playing this game? She'll go, actually, no. It's a bit of a different one than you playing COD every day. probably different. She will understand that. And then when I'm about to do choices, she'll go, choose this. Okay. Oh, that was a great choice, babe. And then when I choose a choice, it goes bad. And she goes, why? Because you weren't there. So, yeah, she'll probably just go, both sides, you know, no, she like it or not.
I can see her standing over your shoulder telling you what choices to make.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. And she'll do the best choices, and I'll just go, no, I don't want to do this. I don't like this country. I'll say no. I want to play this. You know, said, oh, that's the wrong country to mess with. Okay, no worries.
Whoops. Caroline, I mean, have you ever thought about being Pope for a day now that you can?
I can only honestly say I've never thought of being Pope for the day. Never.
That's a very straight answer.
Well, first of all, I can never be Pope, so there's no chance at all that I can. But I just want to say that when I was previewing it before, and my son Frankie came up behind my shoulder, he's like, what are you doing, Mum? And I'm like, oh, this is a new game that might be coming out, you know, being Pope for a day. And he just turned around to me and said, Mum, I do not want to play that game. So there you go. Oh, it just says it all there in that one line.
may not be so popular with the kids, we'll have to say.
Maybe if it has an automatic, like, blesser, like it shoots holy water, you know, at the crowd.
Oh, that would be fun.
Just like out of Call of Duty. Yeah. Just spraying holy water at everybody.
That would be fun.
The best points.
So I think this is the point where we probably stop, so we don't get excommunicated then. So we'd like to thank everyone for joining us for this very special episode 32 of The Catholics of Oz. So please, you can send us feedback on anything that we've discussed today. Tell us your favorite shows. Tell us what you've been listening to and what you love, and your favorite episodes of Jimmy Akin and the Mysterious World, anything like that. Would you be Pope for a day? What do you think you would do? So you can send us feedback by visiting sqpn.com/Oz, spelt O-Z, and you can also find our show notes there as well. StarQuest has a Facebook page, facebook.com/StarQuestMedia. So comments and likes are always welcome there. We'd love, and you know, sharing our posts. So please visit us there. And also the Catholics of Oz has its own Facebook page at facebook.com/Catholics of Oz. And we'd love to for you to join us and discuss our latest episodes. And sometimes we put random posts like Caroline herding chickens into back into the pen and things
which
like
that. Which is getting better now. The chickens are trained much better now.
Caroline is becoming the chicken whisperer now. So come and join us for a bit of fun with all of that. And you can also reach us by email at catholicsofoz@sqpn.com. So Caroline, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you. And thanks for joining us, Don. It was very good to do a podcast with you.
Thank you.
Yeah, and Lino, thanks again for being a great guest and for all the fun that we've had today.
Thank you very much, guys, and thank you very much, Dom.
And Dom Bettinelli, CEO of StarQuest, the StarQuest Production Network. It was so good to have you on the show for the first time. Thank you so much for joining us today.
It was great, and someday we'll do this together in person.
Yes, we will. Oh, yes. We will, guaranteed.
That's a life goal. It's got to happen, yeah. And once again, I'm Lindsay Sant. Thank you so much for listening to The Catholics of Oz on StarQuest.